This is a fake. Written by Olivia Anderson is not my real name. Lol. Read by Mistborn Hero. A Batman podfic, rated 14 and up audiences, featuring the relationship Cassandra Cain and Bruce Wayne. It is tagged for implied child abuse. Very vaguely implied. You are probably okay. Like, outside of being forced to commit murder, which isn't exactly a relatable problem for most people, you know? Anyways. Fae and Fairy. Fae Magic. Changelings. Cassandra Cain Centric. Cassandra Cain needs a hug. Selectively mute Cassandra Cain. Hurt Cassandra. Summary. A changeling finds a new home. Cassandra Cain had always known that something was strange about her. Her father had trained her to have a complete understanding of body language. She could tell when his was off. She could see it in the slight crinkle of his brow when he looked at her, and the way his lips just barely tugged downwards at the corners in disgust. She recognized the anger making his eyes narrow. But he didn't look at other people like that. He didn't have any emotions for other people, as far as she could tell. So, there was something about her that upset him. As long as he didn't realize she was a liar, though, she didn't mind. She knew what her father was saying when he spoke, despite his attempts to make her only learn to communicate in body language. People around her spoke enough for her to pick up quite a few things. However, whenever she did try to speak, she got in trouble. She wasn't quite sure why it was wrong for her to speak, when everyone else, including him, she had heard him say a few things a few times. Got to. But why would her dad steer her wrong? He might despise her, no matter what she did, no matter how she tried, but he seemed motivated to keep her healthy. That was what she had thought. Until one fateful day. She had been at the kitchen table, shoving spoonful after spoonful of cereal in her mouth. It wasn't enough to fill her. It never was. But she wasn't allowed more than what she had. So she busied herself by drumming on the table, her fingers tapping out a tune she had heard her father whistling earlier that day. He had burst into the room, his eyes bright when they landed on her. He rushed over to her, placing his hands on her shoulders so he could steer her out of the chair and to the door. Today was the day it all meant. She wasn't sure what was today, but the man's excitement was starting to bleed into her. It wasn't often that her father was happy around her. He dragged her out into the yard. A woman was lying there, writhing desperately in her binds, screaming through a clot in her mouth. Cassandra looked up at her father, her smile fading just slightly. She conveyed a silent question by furrowing her brows. Her father shook his head. Okay, she wasn't allowed to ask questions. She felt something enter her hand and looked down at the blade she had been given. She looked up at her father in confusion, and the man gave a small smile that said, "Trust me." And Cassandra Cain did, so she allowed him to guide her to the ground. He grabbed the woman who was trying to wriggle away in earnest now and dragged her closer. And then he carefully positioned the knife on the woman's chest. He made a motion that was somewhat different from the cuts that Cass often used while cutting apples to snack on, but she supposed this person was much bigger than an apple. Was she supposed to eat her? This. She couldn't think of why else she was cutting up a person. The thought was strange. She'd prefer not doing that. But her dad was looking at her expectantly, and Cass supposed that she didn't have much of a choice here. It was more difficult than Cass was used to. Something hard pushed back against her almost immediately, and she frowned as she threw all of her weight into it, pressing the knife in. The hard thing broke, and Cass gave a quiet yelp as she sunk in more fully. It was nothing in comparison to the sound the woman made. She sounded like Cass did when she fell, like all the air in her chest had been punched out of her. Tears began to spill down her cheeks. Cass pulled the knife out, and she made the sound again, but worse. It was guttural. Hell, it didn't even sound human. She started shaking and screaming in earnest, bound limbs straining against their binds. But the woman grew tired quickly, unnaturally fast, faster even than the red liquid that was spilling out of her at an unnatural rate. The sound petered off into sobs. They petered out into nothing. There was nothing, no body language, no sounds, no movement at all. Cass reached out and touched her shoulder, trying to wake her up, but she knew this wasn't sleep. People still moved in their sleep, still had minute changes in expressions and soft breaths. This was something more. The woman was, for lack of a better word, gone. And Cass had done that to her. She felt sick. The cereal she had been chowing down on earlier started to creep its way up her throat. She pressed her hand to her mouth, only to recoil when she felt the blood smear itself on her chin. Her breakfast came up. A hand pulled back her hair, and that only made her dry heaves more painful for some reason. It was wrong. It was all wrong. Her father gathered her up in a hug when she was done, and Cass couldn't even bring herself to enjoy it. She felt trapped. She wanted to be let go, but her father forced her to meet his eyes regardless. She was a bad woman. Her father tried to comfort her, but that didn't change the fact that she was a woman. No one deserved it. Cass didn't stop shaking for days. It was as if the very universe had noticed the fact that the other woman had gone still, and now her punishment was that she had to move for both of them. There was so much. She felt like she was about to vibrate right out of her skin, like she was about to break into pieces, like she was falling apart in the most literal sense. Her father, tired of her inability to leave the bed within the week. It was a shock he had lasted as long as he had, really. He had never been a patient man, nor a kind one, so clearly. He had been aware ahead of time that this was going to affect her, and had planned accordingly. But she was supposed to be over it by now, apparently. But then he touched her arm, and realized that this was much more than her being overdramatic. He jerked his hand back as if he had been burned, and he had been. Her skin was unnaturally warm, beyond that of a normal sickness. It was a wonder that her sheets weren't steaming. He tried soup and pain medication, but Cass could hardly keep them down, and regardless, Her father seemed to think it wouldn't work even if she could eat the food. Finally, in a last-ditch attempt, her father left to get help. Hours passed, and Cass almost managed to fall asleep. But then, she heard the quiet murmur of voices get closer and closer. She peeled open sticky eyes and squinted at the harsh light that streamed through the windows. "May I come in?" came the unknown voice. Her father gave a dry laugh. "I wouldn't have made you come all this way if you weren't supposed to."
"It's a formality thing."
The door swung open and her father entered, a looming figure just behind him. The figure wore a heavy, baggy cloak that obscured their body shape, but they were so tall that they looked imposing regardless. They pulled down their hood. Instantly, she knew this was a fae, for the body language was all wrong, a mess of too many signals all jumbled together, and yet nothing at all. It was unnatural. He was unnatural. He smiled at Cass, but it seemed more for her than itself. And then he turned to look at her father. Its face was impassive, but its eyes were sharp, dangerously so.
"When did this start?"
Her father hesitated, which was uncommon for him. He gave a small shrug of his shoulders.
"She just became sick one day," he said.
The fairy shook their head.
"That's not how it works. She is a changeling. They don't get sick unless you force them to do something they are not supposed to."
Her dad looked very pale.
"I suppose I could ask her,"
the fairy said, with false innocence, a lilting tone that spoke of suspicion and barely concealed anger. Her father grimaced. There were a few moments as he seemed to think it over, and then he sighed.
"I didn't teach her to speak," he said.
The fairy's eyes snapped to her father instantly, wide and horrified.
"Why not?"
"Because it felt wrong. She's not a human."
"She is a kid,"
the fairy argued.
"She's a couple of rocks and sticks you tied together with leaves."
The fairy scowled.
"And yet, she's more human than you seem to be."
Her father gritted his teeth.
"Are you going to help or not? Are you going to tell me what you did or not?"
There was a long silence as the two stared each other down. Cass's skin crawled in a new way, anxiety gnawing at her stomach. Her father wasn't a patient man, and the fairy didn't seem all that pleased with what was going on either, but they were both stubborn and she was suffering. She understood that it was deserved, that she had killed a woman. The least she could do was deal with a bout of sickness in order to atone for it. But she was a coward, and she wanted nothing more than to have this all go away.
"He made me kill her,"
she said. As it had been the few times she had ever spoken out loud, her voice wasn't exactly her own. Instead, it was a mimic of the person who had talked in front of her last. Her father's head jerked backwards, confused as to how the fairy had spoken without opening its mouth. And then he noticed the way that they were staring at her in mild horror and turned to look at her. She wasn't sure who was more surprised, her father or the fairy, or who looked angrier. The anger in her father's face slipped off instantly, though replaced by horror. He turned to look at the fairy, who looked positively murderous. A knife flashed in her father's hand, dark metal gleaming dangerously in the light, but the fairy cut the hand with ease. With a twist of her wrist, her father's knife dropped to the ground with a clatter, and the man was left at the mercy of a very pissed-off fae. One that locked their free hand around the man's throat.
"Looks like you forgot one of the rules for interacting with fae," it groaned with a false kind of sympathy. "Do not insult them."
"I didn't." "She is a fairy too, is she not? And I believe you said she's a couple of rocks and sticks you tied together with leaves. She may be merciful, but I am not."
Her father's eyes widened, hands scrabbled at the fairy's, trying to loosen their fingers pressing against his neck, but the fairy didn't even seem to notice.
"I will make sure your punishment is appropriately fitting."
"Don't kill him," she choked out, her voice hurt from disuse, but she wasn't going to watch that happen again. She didn't care if she wasn't the one doing the killing. It was wrong. Her father's eyes flitted her way. They widened with shock and anger and relief, and Cass couldn't make sense of much of any of it. The fairy looked over at her, blue eyes gleaming.
"I won't," it promised. Her father disappeared, replaced with a bundle of sticks and rocks and leaves that fell to the ground in a series of dull thuds and rustles, and Cass blinked over at it.
"Is he okay?" she asked. The fairy smiled.
"He is alive."
Cass nodded slowly. It meandered over to her, its eyes taking in her house. Distaste flickered across its face, a minute thing hidden in the slight twitch of its lips. But then it was gone. They smiled at her, coming to kneel beside her bed. He pressed a hand to her forehead, and instantly, all of the pain receded, leaving her warm and pleasantly happy, snuggled under some blankets. He gave her a tiny ruffle, and she leaned into the touch. It felt right. It shouldn't. Cass hesitated just slightly, her eyes straying to the bundle of things that had once been her father, and then up to the fairy again.
"You made me."
The fairy looked pained.
"I did. Your father came to me years ago, begging me to give him a child to take care of."
He sighed.
"The thing about not being able to lie is that you tend to forget others can."
Then he smiled sadly.
"This shouldn't have happened to you. I'm sorry."
At the words, "I'm sorry," the fairy's heart began to glow gold inside its chest. Light bent around them, stretching itself between them like a physical bond had been formed, and she watched a golden string slip into existence, tying the fairy's heart to her wrist. It was feather light, and she had some doubts that it was even real, and yet it had weight to it. Somewhere, intrinsically, she knew what it meant.
he owed her. But the fairy didn't seem surprised. It had been intentional. She looked at him for a long moment.
"Are you my dad then?"
she asked. The fairy hesitated.
"It doesn't quite work like that. But if that's what you want, then I would be more than happy to be your father."
She eyed the string binding them. She could ask for anything, and there was a good chance that her wish would be granted.
"I want that."
The fairy smiled a little and started carefully picking her up, blankets and all. She let her head rest upon his shoulder. A small kiss was pressed to the crown of her head.
"Then let's go home, shall we?"
The end. Thank you for listening. Bonus notes. Oracle: "Really, Bruce? Another one?"
"Does it make it any better or worse if this one is actually mine and I made it?"
Reader's notes: "It's so weird to read Cass in Bruce's voice, but it was an indication in the text, so I kept it. I hope it doesn't make it too confusing to listen. Anyway, thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed. I hope you've been listening to the rest of the series. And if not, I guess you can do it later. This was almost the first and only installment I recorded, but I decided that Dick's was spookier than Cass's, so I went with that one, and now I'm here. So yeah, I hope you've enjoyed. Thank you for listening, and please remember to drink some water today.